Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to all of my precious brothers and sisters. You have tuned in to the Manna from Heaven radio broadcast. I am your teacher, your instructor, and I am Brother Torres. Let us open up our Bibles to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. We've been talking about revival. We've been talking about seeking the Lord that he might revive his church in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, O Lord, revive thy church, revive Zion, revive thy people. Psalm 102, verses 13 and 14, reads like this: Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. The portion of scripture that we shall be looking at today is, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we come to you on this snowy Thursday morning, we look at the snow coming down, and we say, that's the way the manna came down. And right now, Lord, we pray that you would give us manna from heaven. Father God, we need the manna from heaven because the word says, Jesus told us, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And these are your words. This here in Psalm 102, 13, and 14, these are your words. Breathe life into us today by means of your word. Encourage us, strengthen us, give us the hope to know that, yes, revival, a visitation of God is on the way. Bless us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, today, speak to us. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, as only you can. Because only you can go into the deep recesses of the heart and speak to your people. Speak to us, Holy Ghost. Amen. We've been talking about revival. Our subject, our title is God's Arising, Our Hope for 2022. I would dare to say again, and I know I sound like a broken record, but if God does not come to our aid, if God does not come to our rescue, if God doesn't show up, if God doesn't pay us a visit, we're done for. That is a recurring theme in the Bible. Without God, his people go nowhere. Jesus put it this way. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, what was Jesus referring to? That they could not plow their fields? Of course they could plow their fields. Does Jesus mean that they couldn't build houses? Of course they can build houses. They could go shopping. They could get married. There's a lot of things that they could do. But Jesus was not talking about things in the natural. He is the vine. We are the branches. Without him, we can do nothing spiritual or nothing of eternal value. That's the whole reason for studying this text, to get us to understand things that we need a divine visitation. Oh, it's wonderful to see new faces come into the door and even old faces come into the door of Grace Christian Church, our wonderful church building there on 20 Center Street in St. Johnsville. It's wonderful to see the place filling out, but wouldn't it be all more exciting and all more beneficial for us if God was in the house, if God was pouring out his spirit, if God was doing what only God can do, which is to convict of sin and to touch hearts and to save lives. That's only God can do that. And we need him. We need his aid. We need his power. Because a man can only be born again. A woman can only be spiritually transformed by the Spirit of God. And if God's not there, we're just having church, but it's dead and it's dry and it's lifeless and it's going nowhere. I don't want to be part of anything that is going nowhere. I want to be part of the move of God. And God is moving in these last days, and he's just saying, who's going to join me in my movement? But his movement happens. We experience his movement. We become part of his movement when we do it God's way. So here we have the psalmist. And he is distraught. He is overwhelmed with grief. He is heartbroken over his spiritual condition and over the spiritual condition of God's church, here identified as Zion. We saw here that the psalmist was transparent and open and talked about his situation in the first few verses of Psalm 102. Remember that this song is not just a song of praise. It's not just a song. It's not just a melody, but it is also, if you remember, it is a prayer. It starts out as a prayer that turns into a song that ends as a prayer. And the prayer is that God would revive his church. Now, the psalmist says, and he confesses, that he knows that God will arise. He knows God will arise. To do what? To show up and have mercy upon Zion. Today, we want to look at this concept of time. When will God produce this revival? So let me encourage you to turn to your outlines to page number 3 under the heading Thursday, January 6th. Thursday, January 6th. Yesterday, we saw God's first gift for his church. God's first gift for his church is divine mercy. How God will have compassion, how God will demonstrate deep sorrow over what? Over the plight of his people, how God in turn will show kind sympathy towards them, how God has this great desire to relieve his people from their sufferings, from their afflictions, and from their misfortunes. And again, we learned yesterday that God's mercy is readily available to all those that reverence and fear him. And this is based on Psalm 103, verse 13, but also God's mercy is available to all those who confess and divorce themselves, forsake their sin, Proverbs 28, 13. And whom does God bring this mercy to? Who is this mercy for? Zion. Zion is all of God's churches. Not just Grace Christian Church, but it's the Reformed Church down the block. It's the Baptist Church down the street. It's the Episcopalian and Methodist and Presbyterian churches also. It's all of God's churches make up Zion. The same way in the Old Testament, all the tribes of Israel, the tribe of Reuben and Gad and Asher and Judah and Benjamin and Naphtali, all those tribes, all those 12 tribes made up God's people, here labeled, here called Zion. Zion, the people of God, the beautiful people of God. So today we want to look at time. And that's God's second gift for his church. And it's not just time, it's not just time ticking on a clock, but it's the appointed time of favor. The psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Here the Hebrew word for time is the word et, E-T, a little tiny two-letter word. And this word means a time, but not just a time when appropriate actions can be taken. Appropriate actions can be taken. You know, there's no sense in helping people who either, one, don't want help, two, don't recognize that they need help. You know, here the psalmist says, hey, I recognize that Zion needs help. Zion is in trouble. If God doesn't show up, it's over for Zion. So here, this word time means a time when appropriate actions can be taken, because as you know from life experience, there are times when you want to help people, but they're not willing to receive it. They don't even know that they need the help. And here you are offering help, and they're saying, I don't need help. You see, we know now that Zion can be helped because one in Zion is praying for revival. There's an appropriate time when actions can be taken, when people will be ready to receive the mercy and the favor of the Lord. Let me read to you a few scriptures referring to time. Let me take you to the book of Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7, and we want to read the last verse there, and then we'll pick it up in chapter 8, verse 1. It says here, "And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days." In other words, Noah and his family are in the ark. They've been in the ark for 150 days. And then in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And God remembered Noah." Now, that word "remember" means that God had an appointment with Noah. It's not like God forgot Noah, that he was in the ark. No. It means that when God remembers, it means it's God's appointed time. It's God's set time. So God had a set time when he was going to help Noah and those who were in the ark. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. So notice, Noah's in the ark. The ark is floating high above all the mountains. High above. All the mountains of the earth are covered. And so what, is Noah going to stay there forever? Noah and the animals only have enough food, not for a very long period of time. They have enough food for a set time. And so here's Noah. He's up there in the ark with the animals. They've survived the deluge. They survived the universal flood. Only they remain. No one else. Noah and his wife and his three sons and their three wives and the animals, that's it. That's what's left. So God comes to Noah's rescue. And again, the Hebrew term for remember is appointment. God had an appointment with Noah. Not just with Noah, but with every living thing inside that ark. So what did God do? Well, God began to resolve Noah's problem. He sent a wind. You know, when my mother used to mop the kitchen so many, many years ago, back in the day when my mother was cleaning house and she would mop the kitchen, she would ask me to bring a fan over to her, and I would bring the fan, and then she would put the fan by the floor, and then it was a rotating fan, and the fan was put there, and it was plugged in so that it would rotate back and forth and dry up where my mother had mopped. And this is what God was doing. God brought a wind over the face of the earth to begin to dry up the waters. And so notice, there is an appointed time when God visits his people. Here for Noah, it was a wind. For us, it's the Holy Ghost. Boy, do we need the Holy Ghost to come over our churches today. We need a divine visitation of the Holy Spirit to begin to move things that we can't move in the natural, things that only can be moved and impacted in the Spirit. Let me take you to another place in the Bible, another account, and let's to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And in Genesis chapter 18, starting at verse number 9, Genesis 18, 9, and it says, "And God said unto Noah," and they said unto Abraham, referring to the angels. The angels said unto Abraham, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, Abraham replied, "Behold, in the tent." Verse 10. And the Lord said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent, for she was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, Shall I have pleasure of my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You see, my brothers and sisters, if Zion is to produce spiritual children, if Zion is to multiply, if souls are to be saved, God must show up at the appointed time. He's got to do it, or else, listen, it's not happening. It's not happening for Abraham. It's not happening for Sarah, and it's not happening for Grace Christian Church or any other church. So if you look at your text in Psalm 102, it says, for the time to favor her. Listen, God favored Sarah. God visited Sarah. And the same way God visited Sarah, he is destined. He has set to favor her. Who is her? Zion. Because in the context, he has mercy on Zion, and he will favor her. Yea, the set time is come. So again, that Hebrew noun, et, meaning a time when appropriate actions can be taken. What more appropriate when a church has dwindled in numbers? What more appropriate than for God to show up, pour out his spirit, and cause the addition of souls? You know, the Bible says in the book of Acts that the Lord, not the apostles, not Peter, not John, not James, not the apostolic team, but the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved. You know, there's an appointed time. Jesus said to his disciples, stay in the upper room. Don't leave the upper room. Don't even preach or teach. Wait for the Holy Spirit to show up. And then when the Holy Spirit showed up, Peter got up and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that there should be an appointed time for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. The same way the Spirit, a wind moved upon the waters in Genesis chapter 8. We need for the Spirit of God to move upon his churches. So there's an appropriate time, a time when appropriate actions can be taken. For what? For God to do what? Favor. That word, that Hebrew verb hanan, meaning for God to be gracious, for God to be benevolent, for God to be kind-hearted, big-hearted, compassionate, caring, loving, generous, magnanimous, open-handed. Listen, God does not want to be tight-fisted or unkind with his church. No, on the contrary, God wants to pour out his blessings, and two of his blessings are mercy and favor. God will be favorable towards his churches. God will be favorable towards Zion. Why? Because it's his promise. It's his promise to be merciful upon his children. He's going to be merciful to us. And not only merciful, but he's going to favor us. He's going to bless us. He's going to pour out his love on us. He's going to dote on us, care for us, build us up. That's his promise. God is not unkind towards his church, as some would claim that he is, or tight-fisted. No, 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 no. His hand is open. And what is he offering us today? An overabundance of mercy and an overabundance of favor. And another word for favor is grace. Do we deserve the grace of God? Do we deserve another opportunity to get it right? No, we don't, because we've been at this for a long time, and for a long time we've been getting it wrong. But he is merciful. And he says, if you do it my way, I will bless you. So notice, there's a time an appropriate time for God to take action, but also when he does show up, he will favor us like he did Noah. He will favor us like he did Sarah. But then there is a set time, the Hebrew noun moed, meaning a specific appointed time or place. Where is God going to do this? Well, he's going to do it inside the buildings we call our church homes. Listen, God's going to show up because it's the appointed time, but where is he going to show up? Is he going to show up at your house? No. Is he going to show up down at the gas station? No. Is God going to show up at the police station down in St. Johnsville? No. There's a set place. The set place is where his people go to congregate to meet him. Zion is a not only a people, it's also a location. Remember, there was a Mount Zion that the psalmist would always sing about. God will bless Mount Zion. Mount Zion is where the temple was, where God's people congregated. So there's a set time. There's an appointed time and place. Listen, it's on Sunday mornings where God wants to meet us. But where on Sunday mornings? At 20 Center Street in St. Johnsville. Don't you miss that appointment. Don't you miss that time when God is going to show up. And the psalmist goes on to say, that set time is come. It has arrived. It's here. It's at the door. All you have to do is show up to meet the Lord. Well, saints, that does it for today. I will be back tomorrow to finalize this series that we are doing. I want to conclude today by singing, by playing this hymn. And the hymn is entitled, let me pull it up for you. It's a wonderful hymn. In times like these, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you until we meet again tomorrow. God bless.
Thank you.